You would turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to start verse 1 and read through verse 19. Hebrews 3, verse 1 through 19. So the entire chapter. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, as it is said, today, you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? See, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Regret. Small word carries great weight. Truth be told, we all have regrets. We all have things that we did that we hate. Things that we left undone that we are ashamed of. How does Paul say it in Romans 6:21? But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. So you see, now we are ashamed. When we did them, we didn't feel shame, but we do now. We see clearly now. What fruit were we getting? What did we gain? Nothing. Death. Shame. We understand regret. Some of us understand it very, very, very well. And you know what brings great hope to people like me, people who have regrets, people like you? New opportunities. Think of this with me. Say you were a lazy worker. You had a job, you were lazy, and you were fired. Shame. And then you're given a new job. Hope, right? That's a great encouragement because now you have an opportunity to do better than you did before. New job. Let's say you were a horrible parent with your first child. And you think of all the regret of how you did not do a wonderful, faithful job according to the word of God. What can bring you great hope? A new baby. New opportunities, new chances to do better than what you did before, right? We like new things because new things give us new possibilities. You may not even know where it's located, but we're very familiar with Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. When yesterday's mercies feel like they've been exhausted, it's a great hope, a great encouragement that we can look forward and see new mercies with a new day. We like new things, new possibilities to do better than we did before. And what feels more new than a new year? Right? What presents better opportunities for change than a new year? A new calendar, a new planner, a new date, a new year. What prospects, what opportunities to do away with regret and shame and guilt and error and sin? What better time to begin new ventures toward holiness? What better time to finally start what you have been planning for months than a new year? 2018. I mean, even just writing that date is different. You're going to take some training to not write 2017. It's new. It's different. It's a change. It puts you in a new mindset. Everything is fresh. Everything is new. I can go forward. I can begin what I've always wanted. I can start to do what I've been planning. I can stop doing what I've been telling myself. It's all hopeful. We like New Year's. And as a believer, I'm assuming that you have some plans for this new year. And if I were to continue assuming, they would be broken up into two areas. One area would be the things that you need to stop doing. What are they? Well, what are those sins that have been with you for far too long? What are those areas of compromise that you have allowed into your life? What standards have you lowered? What unforgiveness, what pride, what lust, what idol has been with you in 2017? And as you look forward to 2018, you say, no more. I am done with that thing. In your heart, you have declared, enough is enough. It is finally time to put that thing away once and for all. I'm assuming you have, maybe if not on paper, in your mind at least, that area. And the other area would be those things you neglect, right? You've made plans. I'm going to read the Bible this year, all the way through. And that's what you said last year. But not this year. This year, you're going to do it, right? You decided you're finally going to get serious about your prayer life. You promised, I'm going to make evangelism a priority too many times in the past, and this year, I'm going to stop making excuses. I keep seeing those emails Saturday telling me to go out, and I have made excuses. I have made other plans. No more. Maybe you've skipped too many church meetings in 2017, and you said, not this year. I'm going to start these things right. I'm going to start this year off right. I am going to get my life disciplined. I'm tired of all the messiness and the chaos. I'm going to begin a new life of discipline starting January 1st. I'm beginning with a new year. That's not a bad thing. Don't hear me saying these things as though I'm going to rebuke you for having these two areas. That's great. That's encouraging. I would hope that you would look at a new year, at new opportunities to improve, to grow, to change. Amen. And whether you want to call them New Year resolutions or vows or promises or commitments, doesn't really matter. does matter is when you plan to begin. And this may seem like a really small matter, but I pray by the time we're done, you will see how significant, how important it is, how essential it is when you begin. We looked at chapter 3 here of Hebrews, and I want to point out some things, a running theme, and it's actually even going to move us some bit into chapter 4. But look at verse 7 right there. You see what it says? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And then look in verse 13. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today. And then verse 15, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And then in chapter 4, look what it says there in verse 7. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying, through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Again and again, we are told, today. Brothers and sisters, today is the day when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. When? Today. What is the day that the Lord appointed? Today. When should we exhort one another? Today. When should you obey his voice? Today. Always today. Never tomorrow. Never later. Always today. Always today. Today. Now. Immediately, as soon as you hear, as soon as you see, as soon as you know, go, move, do, change, repent, follow. And we get an illustration in this area of Scripture about a group of people who did not think with this today kind of mindset. And we know what happens to them. Again, look at chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You see, in his wrath, the Lord swore. It's as if the Lord has made promises. He has made commitments. He has made resolutions and vows. And what vow did he make? You will not enter my rest. And he said it when his heart was filled with his holy and righteous wrath. In my wrath, I swore. That's not profanity. That is a vow. That is a commitment. That is a promise. I will not let you enter my rest. And we know that this rest is a picture of heaven. The final Sabbath day. It talks about how God created the world and on the seventh day he rested. And then he talks about how the children of Israel were going into this land flowing with milk and honey. This land of rest. This promised land. A rest from all their labor, from all war, and no more enemies around. This is a picture of the eternal rest. The infinite rest. I was talking to Michelle about this message yesterday, and she was reminding me something about that Pastor Jeremy Volo actually told her and the children some years ago. And he was talking about how tired he was. I think it was still when he was still playing soccer. And he was talking about how he just sat down for 5 minutes and how it just felt good to rest. And he was saying even those 5 minutes of rest was from the Lord. And then he brought the message home, you know, in hell, there is no rest. Not even for 5 minutes. The Lord offers an eternal rest. And the majority of these people did not enter that rest. And right now, they are without another moment of rest forever. They are under the eternal wrath of the King, forever busy, forever occupied, forever consumed with this wrath, with this fury, with this anger. Never another moment of rest. What happened? What happened to these people? Well, let me say this. It's not that they did not have vows. It's not because they didn't have resolutions. It's not because they didn't have statements of bold plans to do what was right. In fact, Exodus 24. You can hold your place in Hebrews and turn to Exodus 24. Exodus 24 and verse 3. Exodus 24, verse 3. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Know what that is? That's a plan. That's a vow. That's a resolution. And they all agreed. And is that a bad plan? They hear the word of the Lord and they said, "We're going to do it." That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't stop there. And Moses, verse 4, wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." It's not that they didn't have resolutions. It's not that they didn't have plans. It's not that they didn't have commitments. They had all of these. So what was lacking? We don't want to think when they said this, they had plans to be fake. We don't want to think that when they were all together in one voice saying, "All that we hear, we will do. All that we have heard, we will do and be obedient." We don't want to think that they planned from the beginning to be false. That wasn't their agenda. But something happened that can just as easily happen to us if we are not watchful. In fact, this very book of Hebrews tells us, pay much closer attention to these things. So if you turn back to Hebrews 3, let's look at what we find here. They had their commitments. And like we see in Hebrews 3:16, who were these people? I mean, let's very quickly remind ourselves of who these people were. Lest we think, "Oh, these were just like the Pharisees, and they were false, and they were hypocrites, and they had no experience with the Lord. They had no history with Him." Hebrews 3:16, "For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses?" These are the same ones who were brought through the Red Sea. These are the same ones who had these amazing experiences. God leading them by day, a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire by night. These are the same people who ate manna. These are the same people that God spoke from heaven. The same people who saw the glory of the Lord fill the tabernacle. These were not just random, irreligious fakes. These were people who made strong vows, who had strong history, who experienced glorious things with God. We don't want to look at them like, yeah, we know how they ended. We do that with Judas. Oh, we knew he was a phony because we know how the story ended. We don't want to make that mistake, because if we do, we will make the same errors they did. We have to remember. We have to remember who these people were. These are the same people who said in Exodus 24, we will obey everything you say. But what ended up happening? Hebrews 3, verse 8. Do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. They hardened their hearts. Verse 9. Your fathers put me to the test. They hardened their hearts. They put the Lord to the test. Verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. They provoked him to anger. They went astray in their hearts. And how long? How long did they do this? How long did this last? How long did they keep this up? Verse 9, 40 years. Verse 17, and with whom was he provoked? 40 years. 40 years. How do you get from making strong resolutions with one voice, we will do everything you say, to 40 years of hardened hearts, rebellion, testing him and provoking him to anger, with it ending with him swearing in his wrath, you will never enter my rest? How did they go from being brought out by his mighty hand to him swearing, you will never enter my rest? How did it last for so long? How did they keep this up for 40 years? They did not think with a today mindset. Sin exists in all of our lives. None of us are perfect. There are sins that you have promised this year to get serious about. Sins that you have said, I am going to make holy war against this. And you say, today is the 31st. And starting tomorrow, I am putting this thing to death once and for all. But you put it off until tomorrow. And what happens is exactly what we see in verse 13. Hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin always deceives. Sin always hardens. It tells you tomorrow. Always tomorrow. Always later. Always next time. Think of last year, this time. Do you remember the passion in your heart to make changes? Do you remember the seriousness and the vows with which you vowed to put those things away forever? Do you remember the things you said you are going to start doing? Last year, an entire year has passed. And here we are again, at the end of another year. Is there any similarity to your list? Are there any things that you said last year you were going to stop, and here you are a year later, and you're saying, but this year I'm really going to stop? What happened? It was always tomorrow. It was always next time. It was always later. Sin deceived us. It hardens us. It tricks us. The day that it came to your mind, I must stop this, that was a good day. And it moved you, and it grieved you, and it convicted you. But you thought it best to comfort yourself with thoughts of, I'll begin tomorrow, because tomorrow is a fresh new day. I'll wake up early. I'll start it tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. But what happened? What happened? Sin tricked you because the flesh wants that sin. And it's not going to let it go without a fight. And tomorrow always sounds right. Tomorrow always sounds logical. Next week, well, that's obviously, that's too far. To say I'm going to start next week, well, that's too much in the distance. But tomorrow is close enough to see. It sounds good and right to say tomorrow. Later. Tomorrow came. And tomorrow became today, right? And today wasn't perfect enough, so tomorrow became tomorrow again. Today became tomorrow again, and again, and again, and again. And what did we find? A year has passed. But what does our text tell us? Again, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. When do we admonish and exhort one another? As long as it is called today. What is the day that is appointed by the Lord today? The children of Israel kept saying tomorrow, later, and before they knew it, 40 years had passed. 40 years of tomorrow. 40 years of later. It didn't start with 40 years. It started with one day saying tomorrow, and then another day saying later. I'll put that off later. I'll stop doing that tomorrow. I will cease that. And the next day, and the next day, and before they knew it, they had a track record of 40 years of rebelling and testing and hardening. Holy Spirit wraps up 40 years with one word, unbelief. You see verse 19? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Faith must be proven by our works. To say we have faith, but that faith never leads us to obedience. To say we have faith, but that faith never leads us to worship. To say we have faith, but it never leads us to repentance. James tells us that that kind of faith is dead. We can claim to know God, but we can deny him by our deeds. Jesus, the Bible, it says over and over again, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. There must be more than vows and resolutions and good plans and good agendas. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But when God is not obeyed, it's unbelief. When his promises are not hoped in, it's unbelief. When his wrath is not feared, it's unbelief. When his ways are resisted, it's unbelief. When he's grumbled against, it is unbelief. When he is put to the test, when sin is not repented from, when there's no urgency to obey, to follow, when there's no seriousness, no diligence, no discipline, no reality, the Spirit of God wraps it up with one word, unbelief. And what I just described is the history of those 40 years. If you read the psalm, you can see so often there is a summary of their 40 years. And it is all these things. Spirit of God just says unbelief. They didn't trust the word of the Lord. They didn't turn from sin. They didn't commit to his ways. You think about the people in your life. I think about the people in mine. The people that you look up to. The people that you admire. The people that you want to imitate. You know what they have in common? They don't wait until tomorrow to obey. They don't wait until later to follow. They don't wait until next time to begin. They don't plan to begin obedience later. The day that they hear is the same day they obey. Do you see, brethren, this must be us. A new year before us all, new opportunities, old regrets, old shame, old guilt, new hope. And all the while, the serpent tells you, that's a great idea. Start fresh tomorrow. The flesh loves the bed. It says, you overslept already anyway. Just start tomorrow. You say, well, I think I want to begin fasting. That's wonderful. Start Monday. Brand new week. Or wait till Friday at the end of the week. Either way, it's always wait, wait, wait. Next time, tomorrow. And all the while that you keep listening to that voice that says tomorrow, sin is hardening your heart more and more. That thing that you know you need to let go of right now, it keeps saying later, later, later. And all the while you hold it, what you're not realizing is your heart is becoming hardened. You're being deceived by sin. You're gripping that thing tighter and tighter rather than loosing the grip. You're holding it tighter and tighter, and it's becoming hidden behind your back. You find yourself holding on to things that you've told yourself over a month ago. I said I was going to stop that. Why am I still holding it? Why am I still doing it? Why haven't I begun? And what do we find? We look back and we see failed plans. We see inconsistency. Our daily decisions are leading us somewhere. There was a day when the Israelites made that vow in Exodus 24. And there was a day when they said, we will begin to fulfill that vow tomorrow. There were days when they excused their sin, days when they justified their actions. And you know when they did that? If you would have come to them on the day when they were grumbling and you would have said, what day is it today? You know what they would have said? Today. Everything you do is done on today. It's always today. And the decisions that they made to continue in their rebellion was done on the day called today. And they kept putting off obedience until, you know when? Tomorrow. And tomorrow became today, and they kept pointing to tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow. And before they realized it, the Lord was saying, you will never enter my rest. It's been 40 years. 40 years of regret. 40 years of shame. 40 years of hardened hearts. We have to remember that the evil one, this may sound strange to say, but he's patient. Say, I thought patience was fruit of the Spirit. Here's what I mean. He's patient to move forward with his goal. He will build his trillion-dollar fortune of sin in your heart one penny at a time. He wants to move into the home of your heart. But you know how he will do it? A Q-tip at a time, a toothbrush at a time, and before you know it, you're like, how did a piano get in here? And all the while, he's been playing his satanic symphony, lulling you to sleep with a song of tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And before you realized it, the little Q-tip and the little toothbrush ended up into a full home, and the devil has taken up residence in your heart, and you never even saw it because he's patient. It's a slow fade. My wife was just telling me that the other day. Slow fade. You know the scary thing about a hardened heart? Is that you don't realize that it's growing hard. A cold heart, you don't notice it. It's not blasted with ice, frozen. It's not like that. It's not covered in fast drying cement. That's not how it happens. It happens moment by moment, day by day. And before you realize it, years have passed. Brothers and sisters, it's always gradual. It's always slow. It's always smooth. Do you want to read the Bible this year? Start today. Do you want to change your prayer habits? Start today. Do you want to be more committed? Begin today. Do you want to start to be evangelistic? Don't wait until the day of Saturday when the church gets together to start evangelizing. Tell somebody today. Do you want to be more forgiving? Begin forgiving today. Do you want to be more gracious? Be more gracious today. More kind today. More gentle today. More faithful today. Has it ever happened to you that somebody told you something about them and you said, I'm going to pray for you? And then you see them a week later and you realize, I never prayed for them. How did that happen? Because you said, I'll pray for you when? Later. Tomorrow. Not, I'll pray for you right now. Today. It always must be today. And if that can happen with a prayer for someone that we love, think of how many times that happens to us. How many things get neglected. How many things are held on to that are supposed to be let go of because we keep saying later and later and later instead of now, 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 today, today, today. When must we begin? Today. You say, oh, you know what? On my schedule, training my children. When should you begin to address that behavior that you see in them? Later? No. When you see it. Is there coldness growing in your marriage? When should you begin to deal with it? Now. Today. Is there a lack of contentment growing in your singleness? When should you begin to deal with it? Now, today, is a root of bitterness growing up in you towards someone. When should you pluck it up from the root? Now, today, when should we begin to deal with the things that we see? Never later, never tomorrow, always today, always now. Not only must we not plan on obeying tomorrow, while we neglect today, but we must remember we cannot live off of the victories of yesterday. That's always the struggle. Either we look to yesterday or we look to tomorrow, all the while ignoring what we have in front of us today. You cannot hope in tomorrow's faithfulness, and you cannot live off yesterday's obedience. You have today. When should you cling to Christ? Today. When should you seek his face? Today. How will we enter his rest? How will we gain what the Israelites failed to obtain by avoiding what they did? Unbelieving, hardened hearts, tomorrow religion, yesterday's holiness. So much is said about the future. You know, if I get into this situation, I'm going to do that. And if this happens to me, then I'll do that. I don't know how many times I've even thought myself, you know, if I'm put in a situation of persecution, or if I'm in this country, or if I become a missionary, or if I this and I this. And you know what it always is? It's always tomorrow. It's always later. What if? What if? What if? And all the while I'm thinking about what I would do tomorrow, I am actually doing something today. I have these high hopes of what I will do then and what I will be then, all the while neglecting and ignoring the fact that I am making conscious decisions right now. And if we're not careful, we will be blinded by hopes of tomorrow and completely miss the opportunities of today. We don't want that. We have this warning, brothers and sisters. Brethren, they didn't enter into the rest of the Lord because of this. They didn't make it. They went astray. It wasn't because they didn't have good theology. It wasn't because they didn't have great victories. It wasn't because they didn't have enormous experiences. It wasn't because they didn't have great resolutions and plans. It was because they did not take heed to this. And we are told, if you hear his voice, when should you do something about it? Right then. You know how it is when you see that old friend and all they talk about is what you used to do. Remember when we used to? Remember how we used to? Remember when? Remember when we were in school? Remember that thing? You remember, you remember, you remember. Nothing of now. Always then. Always memories and nostalgia. And you know what? We can do the same thing. I used to fast all the time. I used to pray for hours. I used to read my Bible cover to cover every year. I used to, I used to, I used to. But what are you doing today? What are you doing now? Where are you now? You see, that's the danger. We look to tomorrow to obey. We look to yesterday to encourage us as assurance. And we miss today. We want to be careful that we don't do this. And so many people can have these plans of, once I start, I plan on going out every weekend. I plan on start waking up at whatever time. Once I get married, then I'll stop watching the filth on the internet. Once I get this living situation, then I'll be faithful. Once January 1st comes, then. See the danger? There are so many people in hell right now who had great plans and could tell you amazing testimonies of what had happened in the past. But it was never today. They were deceived, their hearts grew hard. They were tricked by this and they fell away from the living God, just like those Israelites did. Tomorrow is gone. No matter how much you want to change it, no matter what you wish you could alter, no matter what you wish you could add to it, there's nothing you can do about it. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is no guarantee of coming. What you have is now. What we have is today. Tomorrow may never come. Yesterday is gone. You have today. And today, if you hear his voice, don't relish in what you obeyed yesterday, and don't plan on what you will obey tomorrow. If you hear his voice today, you know that thing in your hand is supposed to be let go of. You know that thing that you've been neglecting should no longer be neglected. Begin today, brothers and sisters. Today. Now, this does not mean that we're not to remember where we came from. Remembering is helpful. It's good. It's healthy to see how far the Lord has brought you. Oh, what a great encouragement. This is not saying to don't plan for tomorrow. It's wise to plan. It's good to make decisions. James tells us that, you know, obviously you want to say, if the Lord wills, I will do such and such. This is not to rebuke planning, and this is not to rebuke remembering. This is a call to not hope in yesterday and not trust in tomorrow. We must obey today. Always today. And when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't that what we see? Imagine if he would have said, I know y'all need righteousness today, but I'll do it tomorrow. Where would we be? Where would we be if the Lord put off for tomorrow the righteousness that we needed today? We would be without the holiness. Imagine if he said, you know what, I'll come to earth next week. I'll come in flesh tomorrow. I'll go to the cross later on. Everything for him was now. He didn't put off until later what was needed now. And you think about the reality. What do you need? We need a today kind of Savior. We have enemies that we need to fight today. We have discouragements that need to be scattered today. We have temptations that we need help with today. We have rest that we need to be able to enjoy today. It's always today. Sin wants to destroy us today. The devil is calling us today. The world is alluring us today. And we need a Christ who is of today. We need a Savior that is today. We need a Lord who will help us now, who will hear us now, who will come to us now. Speedily, Lord, please, speedily, I need you now. And that's what we have. We have a Christ who is a today kind of Savior. And if that's who he is, and that's what he's been, and that's the consistency that we have of a Savior who right now is making intercession, not a promise of, I'll make intercession for you tomorrow, I'll advocate for you tomorrow. No, he's making intercession for us immediately, currently, right now. Then should we not follow in the footsteps of our Savior and give him now, give him today? Today. Remember the manna. Remember the manna. What a picture. What an illustration. When they tried to keep some of it from yesterday, what happened? It would rot. When they tried to store up and plan for tomorrow, it would rot. The worms would come. Today. As much as you need today, always today, you walk by faith today. Hold fast to the truth today. Pursue holiness today. Put off sin today. Love one another today. Forgive one another today. Serve one another today. Today, today. Yesterday was once called today, and now it's gone. By the Spirit, we must do this. And here's the last thing that you may say, how? Okay, how do I? Because again, what was the problem? Hardened hearts. The issue was always their heart. They went astray in their hearts. How do I reach my heart? I thank God for Pastor Tim and pointing this out to me. How do I reach my heart? Well, we actually get exactly what we need in chapter 4 in verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You see that? The word of the Lord pierces, reaches, gets deep into our hearts. The problem, if the problem is a hardened heart, what's going to break up that hardness? It's not by just gritting your teeth and hoping that things change. It's not by just changing behavior. It's not just saying, okay, I'm just going to start doing stuff today. The issue is the heart. And we must be in the Word of God in order for the sword of the Spirit to reach our hearts. Where? How does this happen? Because when you look in the Word, what do you see? You see Christ. And in seeing Him, you see His preciousness. And when you see His preciousness, you see that thing in your hand is lying to you. When you see the beauty of Christ, you see the ugliness of sin. You see in His Word the warnings, the urgency of today. The more you are in His Word, the more you can fight the lie. The more you're in the light, the more you can be protected from the dark. The more you're in the Word, the more you have the motivation and the help and the assistance necessary. It is a sword that you need. If the heart is the problem, the Scripture tells us here that it will reach the deepest corners of our hearts. What do we admonish one another with? Not our own random thoughts. With the Word. The Word. This is our help. Today, brothers and sisters. Today. Make your plans. Praise God. Set your agendas. Excellent. Make your lists of what needs to change, what needs to no longer be neglected. But when should you begin? Today. Get into the Word today. See Christ today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the warning. Thank you for the reminder to see what the Israelites failed to see and failed to do, and how it resulted in 40 years of disobedience with hardened hearts and rebellious attitudes. How it just stacked up. And Lord, they began so well. Lord, would you keep us from that? Would you keep us focused in your Word, seeing your Son, seeing our need, seeing our sin, seeing the truth, where we would not be deceived by the hardness of sin and the allurements of sin, but we would see clearly because we're looking into your Word. And once we recognize, oh Lord, with truth we can move forward to begin immediately on the day we hear. Where do we hear? In the Word, all we follow. Where do we see Christ? To follow Him in the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Lord, please give us a hunger and a thirst insatiable, that we would just dive deeper and deeper into your truth. Help us, Lord. We're not strong enough to fight against these enemies without you. But we must fight, and we must fight today by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.